Welcome to the Gospel Illusionist Experience, a show that will explain the making of Christian ministry with illusions and clowning for all ages.
We are your hosts, Steve, a.k.a. Bumbles, and Sandy, that's me, a.k.a. Jingles. With almost 25 years of experience in a clown ministry, utilizing illusions and clowning to share the gospel.
This is our premiere episode, so today we will share our experience in the making of this ministry. In the future, we hope to interview the people who helped us get started, and many more professionals in illusions, clowning music, and much more. Next, we will be talking with members of Clowns Serving Christ on how this group started and evolved. Clowns Serving Christ is a Christian ministry utilizing illusions and clowning to spread the gospel. Our guests today are from Clowns Serving Christ. Both of these members have been with the group for nearly 20 years. The first guest is Dan, a.k.a. Whistles, our fearless leader.
Hello.
And Steve, a.k.a. Rufus, the town crier.
Ta-da!
Welcome them to the show.
Yes, so Dan, you and I go way back.
Yes, a long time.
How far back do we go?
High school.
High school, yeah. And we went in the Army together.
Yes.
Yes, and then how did you get into doing clowning and magic?
Well, I had always thought about being a magician, but it started out with clowning first. The neighborhood I was living in, a friend came to my door right before the 4th of July and said, hey, the community is going to have a Westerville, 4th of July parade, and I'm with the Lions Club. We're going to go around and collect people's old glasses. And this year, we're going to dress as clowns. Would you help us and collect these glasses? Well, I told him, I don't know. I don't have anything. I don't need clown stuff. He said, that's okay. Just grab your wife's makeup and put on some crazy clothes. So I did. That's what got me started. Walking down that street, as goofy as I looked, not much like a clown, I don't think, as compared to today. The response I got from the kids and the crowd just was infectious. So I decided I want to be a clown. So back in those days, we didn't have the internet. That goes that far back. I had to go to the library and get some books to see, how you be a clown. And I didn't do very good.
No, you didn't.
Didn't do very well.
The pictures tell us that.
Yeah. So when did you bring magic into it? Or illusions?
Well, I brought the illusions in because clowns that I was reading, besides maybe acting silly or telling a joke, they did something. They juggled or they did something entertaining, and I didn't juggle. And I couldn't ride a unibike and that kind of stuff. So I just, I'd always wanted to be a magician. So I started looking up magic stuff, and it seemed to fit. I could make the magic be funny.
Now, I remember you did this with your daughter and your dog.
Yes, my daughter was 5 years old, and the clown at the time that I decided to be was named Whistles, but he was a mute clown. He didn't talk. So my daughter, being five and very precocious, she would be the clown with me. Her name was Bubbles. The dog was a little Bichon. She would do magic tricks by hand command. So I didn't have to tell her what I wanted her to do. Her name was Cupcake. That was her real name, but her clown name was Puddles. That seemed to be appropriate, Puddles.
It's and we just actually the won dogs a contest. In the background.
We won a contest. We were at the church. They had a night where people did their, their singing, or there was a magician. And there was all kinds of stuff going on in this competition. And I couldn't believe it, but this mute clown and my five-year-old, she introduced every show. Every clown, every magic act we were going to do, she introduced it. And she helped me, and the dog did tricks. And like they say, when you are doing entertaining with kids and dogs, that's probably why we won, not because of me.
Well, then you got me in the orchestra at Central College Church.
Yes.
And then you mentioned something about doing magic.
Yes.
And there was an upcoming Ohio Christian Magicians Conference.
A friend of mine had introduced me. He was a magician, and I told him what I wanted to be a magician. Not you mentioned, I remember now. That's how I got the magic involved, because I had told this fellow, a friend of mine, I wanted to be, he told me he was doing magic. And I said, how did you learn that? And he says, well, I belong to a group called the Ohio Fellowship of Christian Magicians. He invited me to one of their meetings, and that's what really got me involved in magic. And so I had told you that I was doing magic.
Yeah. You invited me.
Yep.
And we went that time. And what happened?
That was on the east side of Columbus.
Yeah.
We had to drive. You had a Corvette at the time.
Yep.
We went over there, and one of the things they used to do was have magicians bring their old magic tricks that they were wanting to get rid of, and you could bid on them, and you could buy some old magic tricks. Well, there was a magic box. It had a rabbit coming out of a hat, a big black box. It could hold magic stuff, but also you could entertain from it. And I decided it was on wheels, and I wanted to buy that. So during the auction, I won, and I got this box. The problem was that when it came time for us to leave in the Corvette, there was no room for us in the box in the Corvette. So they held on to it for me. You took me home. I got my car and went back
but
and got
who
it.
Who held on to it for you?
Laughlin, I believe.
Mary.
Mary?
Mary Laughlin.
Mary Laughlin held
That's
on
how
to
we
it.
Met the Laughlins.
That's how we met them, yeah.
That from there on, it's been a friendship with them. Dwayne and Mary Laughlin are professional magicians. He had his own show for years. He's retired now. Sandy and I tried to go down and see him down in
Smoky Mountains.
Tennessee.
Smoky Mountains, Tennessee. And we never did. He was always gone every time we went there. Anyway, so we moved forward. We got together, Sandy and I, and went to Clown Town so we could become clowns.
Well, before that, you had said you wanted to be a magician. I said, oh, I was doing it with clowning, and I was going to be doing a clown show right before Easter Sunday at the church. The adults are out putting eggs outside for the kids to find, and I do a half-hour clown magic program. You said you wanted to see it, but Sandy was afraid of clowns. So I said, you guys sit way in the back, and then I won't go over there. And if she's afraid of me, I won't go near her. That's when you came up when the show was over, and Cindy, and you said, she's no longer afraid of clowns. Then you found Clown Town.
We went to Clown Town.
In Newark.
And I think the next year, Clown Town was a, what would you call it?
It was a basic college for clowns.
For a weekend.
Yeah, a weekend of basic clowning.
I know when
it was held at the OSU's campus.
Yeah, when we first went, there was like 300 clowns there.
Yes.
Yeah. And they also have, prior to Clown Town, they have a weekend where you can go in and they teach you how to put on makeup and everything. So we went to that. So Mr. Whistles was a scary clown.
The face was scary.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
the face
was
very scary.
So we...
I figured you want to have a smile on a clown, so I had the biggest smile I could put on my face.
Ear to ear.
Yeah, it was scary.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he didn't believe us that was not appropriate makeup until he went the next year, because he couldn't
the clown
that
town.
Year.
Yeah.
I went to the makeup side of the program,
yeah,
and then I went to the clown town, and it changed drastically.
We met Bungles the clown there, mm-hmm, who's still a friend. And so next year, when you had the little Easter egg hunt at your church,
yes,
I joined you.
Yes.
And there was a guy out in the audience that came up to me afterwards and said, you need to use an outdoor voice. And I think you could take it from there, Steve.
An outdoor voice? Is that what I said?
Yes.
Said,
yes.
I,
plus, you remember?
Oh,
daughter was no longer with me.
You brought up Sarah, my daughter.
Yes, she wanted to. Well, she came to me because she was attending church. You guys attended church. She says, I'm going to do this with you. So she was my assistant.
And one of my favorite pictures is of the two of you and Sarah.
Yeah.
And Sarah's got the Mickey hat on in between the two of you. And the two of you convinced Sarah that she needed to go to Clown Town. So the 14-year-old at the time came up to me and said, Dad, I can't drive. I said, that's right. She says, you got to take me. I went, what? I said, I'm not sitting out in the parking lot all day. she said, okay, you can come in. So the two of us came along, and since that was the nucleus of Clown Serving Christ, all five of us together.
They joined you and I.
Yeah.
And Sandy.
Sandy was the pretty one.
Steve, myself, Sarah, we started Clown Serving Christ, and that was a little less than 25 years ago when all this happened.
Yeah.
And prior to that, I got to throw this in because this comes to mind. When I was still not being a good clown with makeup, and I was still working with my daughter, I was out one evening walking the dog, and as usual, that's when I would talk to God, not walk in the neighborhood. Poor dog sometimes thought I was talking to her, but no. The other turned the word around, not dog, but God. And I got this message in my head that oftentimes would come, that small, quiet voice that says something that doesn't really come from your thoughts or your heart. You're going to have a gospel clown ministry. And I go, what is that? I mean, I knew it wasn't me because I had no idea what that was. How would I come up with that? I had no idea what it was. Before the internet, I had again go to the library, and there was such a thing as clowns who did things in reference to the gospel, and that's how they promoted the good news. And so I says, okay, I'm going to have a gospel clown ministry. When? No answer. It took, in God's time, about 4 years by the time all of you here on this podcast joined me.
The five of us ended up going to church camp, and through the church camp, we have educated over 300 children between the ages of 10 and 15.
So we start out all this, and there's somebody sitting next to me here that did not like clowns.
No,
the first time you came to our
terrorized.
House, tell us about that.
Well, they were sitting, we were sitting at our kitchen table, and Steve and Dan are talking about being clowns, and I am holding myself to my seat because I was freaking out. And then the next thing I know, I'm going to Clown Town with 300 clowns all around me for a weekend. So God is, he has a sense of humor, apparently. Now, we would have pockets on, but however, she is a mute clown, so she could talk all she wanted, but you wouldn't hear anything.
So we started Clown Serving Christ. Like you said, we did summer camps for how many years did we do that?
Well, we did almost 20 years.
20 years of summer camps.
That wasn't the name of the group when we first started.
That's true.
That's true. It was just
we were Clowns for the number four, Christ.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we got challenged by somebody down in Florida or Tennessee.
Georgia.
That's right. And we incorporated Clown Serving Christ in Ohio.
So,
because of the name challenge.
So we did a bunch of camps. What was camp like? We would go to, we were going to teach the kids there clowning and putting on a show.
They were usually elementary age. We would go there the first afternoon we got there, put our, we were going to stay the night, so we had all of our stuff. And we would set up our show. Then go to dinner with the kids. The kids knew we were coming, so we would sit down at dinner time and eat with them. And then after dinner, we would get dressed up, makeup on, and do a show. And then and they knew that the next day, after breakfast, we were going to start teaching them how to be gospel clowns.
And early on, there was a class on how to do makeup. And I can laugh is that the first time I put makeup on, it took me over 40 minutes. Now I can do it under 10. I mean, it's just slip, slam, sloom.
And he shares his makeup tips with his wife.
His daughter.
My daughter.
Oh, daughter.
Well, it depends on what kind of clown you are. If you're a white face, it takes a little longer.
Well, true.
If you're a goosed
type of clown.
Or a lighter goosed, it takes a lot less time.
A lot less time, yes.
So, Dan, who is Whistles, what are you?
I'm a white face.
Steve, who is Rufus.
I'm a goose.
Sandy, which is Jingles.
I'm a white face.
Sarah is...
She's a white face. White
and
face.
She's Pockets.
She's Pockets.
And Bumbles, I am a white face. So
you
we've had...
No, you're a goose.
Oh, gosh.
You're in a goose.
I'm in a goose. How would I forget that?
What does a goose mean?
What does a goose mean?
It's not a goose like a bird. A goose, I remember, a goose is a kind of a German word meaning fool.
Oh, that's right. It is. That's true. Fool. And that
fits.
Describes me to a T.
As much as he will practice, he will always mess up.
So any stories from our years of doing it, any things that come up to mind as good? Or why? I remember the one where we were in, oh gosh, Mount Vernon, and I was walking up and down the aisle before the show started, and this young lady looked up at me, so I went over to say hi to her, and immediately she's cowering and throwing her hands up to keep me away, so I realized she was scared. So I left her alone, didn't bother her.
That was the pregnant lady.
Yeah, she was pregnant. And after the show, we did our show, and afterwards she came back up there, and she walked right up to me, and I just kind of hesitated, and she put her arms around me, and she was no longer scared of clowns.
That's what I would call a Kodak moment for me, because I remember that. I remember we knew that she was afraid of clowns, so that was before the show started, so we did some walk around and interacted with people before the show started. We knew she was afraid of clowns. After the show, I'm walking around talking with people, and I happen to look up on stage, and what do I see? The woman who's afraid of clowns hugging Bumbles. I'll never forget that.
You weren't there for that.
I wasn't there for that, but I do remember talking with the Down syndrome clowns.
Oh, we've
and I asked them, I said, my job was as the MC was to ask them right off. I said, how did you become a clown and why did you become a clown? And one of them looked at me and said, when I'm a clown, people talk to me.
Yeah.
And that always stuck.
Yeah, that was a little Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's now gone, but it was truly profound that when I'm a clown, people will talk with me.
And that group was called VIP Clowns.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun working with them. We had a good time.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with them. They taught us more than we taught them, I'm sure.
And then the chance that we got to meet the Laughlins, and I kind of laughed, is that we were on stage together. We were before or after, I can't remember, it was the Fellowship of Christian Musicians. And I remember being backstage and watching Mary do a
costume change,
and she stood right there. And I to this day, I still can't figure out how she did it.
She just...
Yeah. Both you, Dan, and you, Steve, Rufus, were looking straight at her, and I'm sitting there thinking, they have no clue what she's doing.
I didn't.
And then when it finally dawned on you, you guys were kind of embarrassed. But, yeah, I know how women can change clothes and not show anything, and she did a great job of that.
And she did an absolutely marvelous professional job.
Yes. Well, we have, really, this group has been blessed. And we have to believe that we've done what we were asked to do, be, you know, gospel clowns. We learned everything at Clown Town, and at one point we got to actually be on stage and entertain the people during their night of entertainment. We got to do that.
We also did a church service
for them.
We've done a full church service, at least one full church service. Rufus, Steve walks in doing the call to worship on stilts. That's really a eye-opening experience. You know, and we've just been all over the state of Ohio. We actually left Ohio one time. The Christian Boaters Association had a meeting
with South Carolina.
And we got to drive down there and actually participate in their evening program and help entertain people to show what we do as far as ministry. We've had a wonderful experience in doing this all over the state. And as I said, just at one South Carolina.
Yeah, but we have literally gone from the shores of Ohio River to the shores of Lake Erie.
Yep.
I mean, we have covered the entire state.
Yeah. It's been fun. So we'll save a lot more of this story for another episode. So I just want to thank Dan a.k.a. Whistles.
Sandy, a.k.a. Jingles.
And me, Steve, the town crier, Rufus.
And me, Bumbles. So we're done with this part of the episode. Stay tuned for more.
We've heard many stories today from how we all got started and how God brought us together in His way. And there will be more stories to come because we've gone through a lot of things over the last 20-some years.
Yeah, where we would like to do is we want to start bringing in individuals that have helped us start our group. Some of these are professional magicians, professional clowns. We're going to talk to the guy who provides our music. So we're going to want to do a lot of interviews with people that do illusionary ministries and or with clowns. So it'll be for both. So that's what's coming up in the future. I hope you stay tuned to listen to it. Thank you.
We hope to build a relationship with our listeners.
And we hope to help you in your ministry while we entertain you along with laughter and hope you learn something new.
The music for the podcast is provided by Arthur Steed Music and Magic, www.arthursteed.com. That's www.arthursteed.com.
I'm going to end with a Bible verse today. It's from Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight.
See you in our next episode.